Mother's Day to all the moms. I called my mom yesterday. I'm just going to dive right in. I called my mom yesterday to wish her happy Mother's Day and ended up hanging up and having a good cry. She's just starting to slowly have some age-related changes, you know, and that's always hard to see start happening, you know, forgetting a few things here and there and just slowing down. And so I love my mom very, very much. And today I want to talk about leaving a legacy to others, leaving a spiritual legacy. You can put my title slide up there. Leaving a legacy of blessing to the next generation. My mom wasn't perfect, but she passed down to me a rich spiritual heritage. And, you know, a heritage is an inheritance, and a spiritual inheritance is as tangible as a physical inheritance. And this is something more than just, like, niceness. It doesn't take Jesus for people to be nice, you know. Any person can be nice, or, you know, it's like I inherited curly hair, my grandmother's green thumb a little bit, a measure of it, but those aren't necessarily part of a spiritual inheritance. So today I want to talk about a spiritual inheritance that's a tangible thing, that's a substance of faith that's passed on to the next generation. And so physically, I have a physical inheritance too, and I want to show you a picture of something from my mom that will be mine. You can put up the next slide. I'm a South Dakota girl, and that's South Dakota land. That isn't the actual piece of land that I'm inheriting, but I have a couple pieces of land that have my name on them, and isn't that gorgeous? That is so beautiful. And you know, I just love the prairie, but that will be mine someday, and I value that. And another piece of land has this growing on it. Raise your hand if you know what that is. A few people. The scent of those flowers, that's alfalfa hay. That is heaven right there. That is the most wonderful smelling plant on the planet, I think. I grew up walking through alfalfa fields, you know, with little bees all around, and every year they would mow that and swath it into rows and stack it in haystacks, and that's what the cattle would eat. But some of my land has that on it, and so I value my earthly inheritance, but I greatly, greatly value my spiritual inheritance from my mother. My mom lived her life with eternity in mind. She wasn't always born again, but when she was 19, she was driving on a highway, and she would to work every day, and she would go past this sign, and it says, "He who believes in me, when he die, I will in no ways cast him out." And I could have butchered that a little bit, but anyway, driving past that verse daily, day by day, that just eventually, like, went in her heart, and she gave her life to Jesus. And her life was transformed, but future generations were transformed because my life was affected by her life. She lived with eternity in mind, and these are seven truths that she deposited in my life that have become my spiritual inheritance, and this is what I desire to pass on to my children. And so I'm going to give you seven truths that my mother taught me, and these are truths, these are realities from the Word of God. And number one is that God is the supreme creator of all things. God defines what goodness is, He defines what love is, He defines what right and wrong is, and you can know God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and you can walk with Him and have a relationship with Him. So that's one thing my mom taught me. The second thing is that mankind's problem is sin. There's a lot of problems in the world, a lot of issues, a lot of things that are wrong with this world, but it all boils down to one thing, and that is sin. And so if you don't know that, you can go down a lot of bunny trails trying to fix things here and fix things there, but the core root of all problems on the earth is the concept of sin. And the only solution for sin is the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that takes sin away. So number three, God's punishment for sin is just. It's not our job to judge whether we think God is right or not when he judges sin. We trust in God's goodness. God will punish sins. He makes the rules, and he's not being mean to punish sin. The fourth thing is the law of sowing and reaping is always in operation. And this is just, this is how my mom lived her life. This is the value she put in me, is that there are always consequences for actions, cause and effect. So you will always reap back death, always. You don't have to question it. You will always reap back death for choosing sin, for choosing wrong. And you will always, you don't have to question it, you will always reap back good for choosing obedience to God, no matter if you see it with your eyes or not, no matter if you're alone in a room and no one else knows what you're doing, you will always reap back death and destruction from sin. And you will always reap back good for obedience. Okay, so number five, heaven and hell are real places. They aren't figurative things. These are realities that the Word of God talks about and describes. There is a place of eternal torment where the fire never goes out. Number six is that eternity is a long, long time. We tend to kind of make our lives all about our lives, but there will come a day, it's guaranteed for every single person on the planet, like Steve says, 10 out of 10 people don't get out of this life alive. So eternity is a long time. We all are going to face death, and we'd be really, really smart if we lived with that in mind when we structure our lives. So, and then the last thing is that Jesus came to save us, not condemn us. He's not sitting in heaven going, oh man, they are such screw-ups, you know, I'm gonna punish them. You know, he bankrupted heaven to send us Jesus to rescue us from sin, not to condemn us. So it's up to us, the choice is ours, to receive that that grace over our lives, to receive that saving, that salvation from Jesus, or we can just live as if we don't really care about it and suffer the consequences later. So this is what my mother in particular planted in my life, because she was born again. That was a big deal to her. She wasn't just a church person, but she knew Jesus. She invested her life in reading the Word, growing in God, serving in the local church. She taught me the value of loving the local church. So back to a natural inheritance, you know, the land that I pictured up there, that's my natural inheritance. But in 2004, my dad passed away. And while we were there for the funeral and everything, the funeral's over, and my mom asked me, Joan, while you're still here, before you go back to Minnesota, would you help me go through Dad's things? And I'm like, I know everybody's different. I'm like, why would you box up his things and just like get him away like that? But every person is different, you know? And so I helped her go through his clothes, and we gave away things that family members would like, but my dad was a smaller man, and you know, not many of his clothes fit anybody that we knew. And so anyway, his meager possessions were boxed up, bagged up, and put in the car to take to Goodwill. It went through his jewelry, his wallet, his, you know, he didn't have a ton of stuff. But something happened in my heart when I did that, and it just, all I could see is my house in Minnesota and the thought that someday, someone is going to go through all of my stuff when I'm gone. And so, it's kind of funny, I think of like my back closet, that's like my room that is, everything else has a semblance of order, but that back room, it's like, someone was just asking Steve, do you have any baskets, for this, we need a basket, and he goes, well, let me get a core sample of Joan's closet, and then we can see if there's any baskets in there. Ha, ha, ha. But anyway, so whatever condition that I leave my back closet in, that's what someone gets to deal with. So I promise kids, I'll work on that, and Steve. But whatever I don't deal with when I die, someone else is gonna have to deal with that. In fact, that kind of happened with Steve's mom. She had a stroke, ended up being in a nursing home, and she never went back to her house, and we had to go to her house, and we had to sort through all her things while she was alive, decide what to give to family members, what to throw away, what to save, what was important, what wasn't important, and how humbling, for her to that we had to do that. But anyway, just recently I came across this cartoon, and it just cracked me up. One day, son, all this will be yours. You can just leave that up there for a little bit. Because what is true in the natural is true in the spiritual too. And sometimes when you when a person passes away, Steve's dad was wealthy. He had some significant things to pass on to us, but every family is different. So someone might die and leave, vast wealth. Someone might die and leave, a little bit. Some person might die and have nothing to pass on to his children. Some person might die and leave their family a truckload full of debts that they have to settle. And spiritually, it's the same. You can spiritually leave your children a wealth of spiritual richness, or you can, over here, leave them a bunch of spiritual debt that they have to wade through and work through themselves. And this is a biblical thing, but in that cartoon, we think it's funny, but in that spiritual garage, we'll just call it a spiritual garage, I'm going to list out what we might find in that spiritual garage that might be passed on to family members. Bitterness, rejection, greed, lying, dishonesty, envy and jealousy, addictions, fear and worry, unbelief, judgment and hatred, pride and stubbornness, lust, pornography, sexual perversion, poverty, stinginess with your money. And then in the dark corners are incest, molestation, depression and suicide. Those things, you can leave that to your children for an inheritance. That could be your legacy to pass on. Now, of course, we don't want that, but the truth of the matter is, whatever you don't deal with in your life, you pass on to your children. And I want to show you in the Word that this is true. Let's look at Exodus 34. 6 and 7, the Lord passed in front of Moses proclaiming, I'm going to read it from up here, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Yeah, I want to stop right there. And then I want to read Exodus 20. Verse 5 and 6, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, worship other gods. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. Now, we kind of, like, our ears kind of go up to the, like, God is, he's going to punish the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. But just remember that he described himself as gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, rich in mercy, maintaining love. You know, that's who he wants us to know him as. But if we don't receive him and walk with him that way, then it's like, yeah, to those that love him, he releases that love and mercy. But for those who reject him, what can he do? You know, it's our choice there. And so I just want to talk about the concept of generational transference. And I have my little illustration here. I know you're all curious, but I have a little timeline that I'm going to put down. Hopefully you can all see this. And this is the cross right here. So, so you get the point. Here's me. These are my parents, my grandparents, great-grandparents, and then these are my children coming after me. So, God intends for blessing to be passed on to your future generation. He doesn't want baggage to come down the family tree. Things do come down the family tree, but God wants blessing to come down there, not garbage. And so whatever you don't deal with, that will be passed on. So my grandfather had this little conflict with a neighbor, Elmer Ketterling. Dun, 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 dun. Minor key. And whenever you would mention his name, his countenance would change. And he became, you know, he'd be like, I didn't do nothing wrong. And he, whatever, there was some issue over the land, over a land thing. But there was bitterness in my grandfather for Elmer Ketterling. And, you know, it's like that would be passed down. How do you stop garbage from being passed on? Well, there's only, sin doesn't go away. Let me just say that. Sin does not go away by itself. I'll just put it that way. So I can sin, like maybe when I was 10, I, you know, did something really, really naughty. You know, I've done things really, really naughty all my life. But just because I forget about them doesn't mean that they go away. The Bible says that you are actually storing up wrath. Everyone is going to die and face a judgment. So either your sins are paid for by the blood of Jesus and taken away, or they're still in your account. And those are the two things. So either they're taken away, and the only thing that can take away sin is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so you want your sins covered. You don't want to just, like, forget about them and think that they go away. So so either your sins are covered or they stay in your spiritual account. And every single person, when you die, it says you live once and after that you face the judgment. And so you will stand before God as the judge of the heavens and the earth, who has a right to set the laws, who has a right to decide what punishment for sin is, what sin is and punishment for sin. And you will have to answer for those sins. So that the in Romans, it says that the wicked are storing up wrath for themselves. It's like a big crock pot. It will just keep accumulating punishment, and you will face those consequences. But if you put the cross in there, the punishment for that, those sins, it goes to the cross. So this is how to break those generational cycles that keep going on. You know, I've inherited a big, you know, a nice spiritual inheritance from my parents, but maybe you're a first generation Christian and you don't have any spiritual heritage in your family line, and so you have like garbage coming down the line here. To break that, we need the cross of Jesus. You know, think of these generational lines. It's not just like one thing. It's like a cable with little fibers going through there. There's a lot of issues that need to go to that cross. Bitterness, lying, greed, a lot of things need to go to that cross. And so when you see them in your life, it's like, oh, God, I ask your forgiveness. You know, my predecessors, you know, they're not making me sin. No one makes me sin. But their behavior, you know, kind of makes an environment like a petri dish that's all ready to grow mold, you know. It makes an environment for sin to be really easy. And I'm going to put up a definition of a generational sin here. Generational sins are sinful behavioral patterns and ways of thinking that are tied to our forefathers. They keep us trapped in their bondage, and they make us predisposed to certain sins. And so if I don't deal with their stuff, I'm going to sin myself and pass more stuff on to my, you know, my children and grandchildren. But the way to stop it, the cross is the stop sign for sin. So whatever issue by issue, whatever thing that you have coming up, you know, that's coming down the family line, get it on the cross. Lord, I plead your blood over that thing. I put it to death on the cross, and now I live with the cross as my heritage. You know, this is my heritage. I take my spiritual heritage from the cross, and I live out of the legacy of who Jesus is, and I take my my spiritual, I live out of the blessing from the cross, and that's what I want to pass on. You know, it's the generational sin is broken wherever the cross goes in. So that's how to break generational sin. Now, typically, that's how to pass on the blessing as well. You know, it works both ways. There's nothing you can do to take away sin except for the blood of Jesus. It has to be the blood of Jesus. So, okay, so I'm going to look at some biblical examples where this was in operation in the Word. And if you're visiting today, we've been in the book of Esther for quite a while. And so we did Esther, 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 and then we stopped for Easter, then we went back to Esther, and today is estrogen. So anyway, I want to look at a verse in Esther 3. After these events, King Xerxes promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, and advanced him and established his authority over all the princes who were with him. All the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai neither bowed down nor paid homage. So I just want to look at that. Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite. Okay, so we'll just say, you know, this is Haman right here. It doesn't mean that Hammedatha, it was his father. It means that he's from the line of Hammedatha. And Haman traced, the way he was identified here, it traced his spiritual line, or genetic line, I should say, back to Hamadatha of the Agagite, who was an Amalekite king. And this is written about in the book of 1 Samuel, where Saul was commanded to wipe out the Amalekites. Now, the Amalekites were wicked people. They weren't just, you know, it's not like God just likes some people and doesn't, like, kill them all, you know. He's not like that, but the Amalekites were particularly wicked. They were barbaric and extremely cruel. So they'd pick off women and children and mutilate their bodies. And they, I mean, they would just do, like, really wicked, wicked things for sport, yes, as Steve adds here. So that's who Haman was. So, like, that was in his heritage. And it tends to, like, if it's undealt with, it will add power. And you can see when they got to Haman, that wicked spirit, that hatred was still a part of his life, and it had increased, it had multiplied in his life, and it was a murderous spirit. He was delighting in the opportunity to be able to annihilate a whole race of people. There was such hatred in him. So that is a generational curse in operation that came down from Hamadatha, the Agagite, to Haman. Okay, and then let's look at Mordecai in Esther 2. Now, there was at the citadel in Susa a Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjaminite. I guess my version is a little bit different, but he's from the tribe of Benjamin, and he is identified, like up the family tree here, Mordecai is identified as a son of Kish. Kish was King Saul's father. So he is saying, you know, what this is saying is this was a relative of King Saul. That's how Mordecai was identified. So King Saul was commanded to wipe out those Amalekites back in 1 Samuel, and he did not do it. He compromised. And so the sin of Saul was spiritual compromise. He would do things, you know, he would behave and do things right as long as the prophet Samuel was near, but when it was left on his own, he didn't have that godliness in his heart to make those good choices. And so, anyway, as this line continued, we get to Mordecai. We see that Mordecai made choices not to take on the heritage of his forefather, King Saul, but he chose to have uncompromising obedience. So his uncompromising obedience, he broke a negative spiritual heritage, and his obedience, Mordecai's obedience, empowered Esther, who brought a great deliverance to a nation of people. So one, Haman is a example of just like evil increasing, whereas Mordecai is an example of, you know, there was the opportunity for evil, but Mordecai made a choice. No, I'm not gonna continue in that line of compromise. And when it came to Haman, he's like, no, he not only did not bow down, but he would not bow down because Haman was an enemy of God. He would not honor anything like that. So we can be like Mordecai and change the destiny of people coming after us by either our obedience or by our lack of obedience, because we are going to pass down a spiritual heritage either way. Either way, whether you think you will or not, you're going to be passing down a spiritual heritage. And so Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So what does this mean for us today? First of all, if you're an unbeliever, if you have not given your life to Jesus, you have an account that needs to be settled before God. I would highly encourage you to make that choice to get those sins under the blood of Jesus, so that, you know, Jesus already took the payment for those sins. He can cleanse them and wash them away. It's your choice to receive him and to receive that salvation. If you're already a believer, I want to let you know that your life choices, whether you choose a life of obedience, you know, whether you're by yourself, you know, whether you're doing something great or small, every choice you make is, you will reap from. You will reap from good and you will reap from bad. You know, even if you're a believer, it counts. It counts. And you want whatever you don't deal with, you know, it's like, deal with the marriage issues in your family. If you're a believer, deal with the marriage issues. Why? Because if you don't, your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren will be left with that mess, and they'll have to figure it out. It's like, if you kill the giants in the land, they won't have that to deal with. I mean, yeah, they still have to deal with their own sins, but you can make it easier for them by you dealing with things in your life. So deal with the marriage issues, deal with your forgiveness issues, deal with your trust issues, deal with your money issues, you know, get your heart right before the Lord. Here's one, tithe. You know, the Lord says, where your treasure is, your heart is. And so ask yourself, is the way I'm living, is this thing in my life, is that victorious kingdom living? If it's not victorious kingdom living, well, change it. You know, get the cross there and start taking your inheritance out of the cross to live that way, so that you can overcome and leave those who come after you with a wealth and not a debt of inheritance. So that's how you deal with it. I'll just say Esau, in the Bible, Esau had an inheritance coming to him. He had a godly father, but he despised his spiritual inheritance. He didn't really care about it, and he lost it. And he lost it for future generations. It affected things that went down the family tree after that. So don't be like Esau to despise the inheritance that you've been given. And don't defend any negative behavior in your life. You know, get it to the cross. Get the cross in there so that you can hand down blessing to your children after you. You know, things like, oh, that's just German stubbornness. Well, German stubbornness isn't in the kingdom of God, you know. Don't excuse, don't defend these things, you know. And so build your spiritual wealth so that you have something good to hand down to those who come after you. So be in the Word of God, be in prayer, be a, you know, love the local church. Like my mom, you know, she loved serving the local church. She taught Sunday school. I was really glad. She taught confirmation class in the Lutheran church so that every child who was confirmed knew the path of salvation, so that they could at least know that, you know, she could at least know that they had heard the gospel. Be kingdom-minded in your finances. Invest in people, because people are eternal. Those are ways to build your spiritual heritage. And so at the end here, in conclusion, I just want to say, if you're older and your kids are grown or whatever, don't just say, well, it's, you know, it's too late, I'm old. My dad, you know, he was a nice Lutheran man, but he didn't like really kick in as far as walking in his faith till he was in his 50s, and I was gone from home already. But he still left me a spiritual inheritance that's tangible, and I have something that, you know, from him. And the other thing is just saying, you know, well, I don't have any children, or my children are grown or whatever, so it doesn't really matter at this point. I've already messed up their lives, so there, you know. Yeah, okay. So regarding the one thing, we all make mistakes. So living in condemnation isn't part of kingdom living. Don't go there, okay? So just decide to take, you know, to start living from the cross. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. It's a new day. Live in a new way. But if you don't have children, Elijah, the prophet, never had children. But Elisha, his disciple, received a double portion of Elijah's spirit. So it doesn't matter if you don't have children. You still have something that you could impart to someone spiritually. Just in the natural, I got a call one time, you know, it was after my dad had died, but my dad's cousin, Eldora, who had been my piano teacher, she passed away, and she had no children. And so she had this inheritance, and it, you know, in the will, it was, you know, there was no children to give it to. So it went to her oldest cousin, who was my dad, and my dad had passed away already, and so it was divided between my dad's children. There was three of us, so I, you know, it wasn't anything huge or anything, but you have an inheritance. You have something that will go, that will live on after you, and it's not just, you know, curly hair and niceness. You have a spiritual thing. You want to, you know, my goal is to leave a wealthy inheritance, a wealthy legacy of blessing to my children. I don't want to just leave some. I want to leave a lot for them. And I surely don't want to leave a load of debt, spiritual debt, to the next generation. So it's not too late. Invest yourself now. You know, that land in South Dakota, that's a beautiful inheritance to me. But my most prized possession is what my mother gave to me spiritually, my spiritual inheritance, you know, and it's not really from my mother, it's from the cross, and it's from Jesus, but wherever I am a rich person. Whether I have money or not, I am very rich, and I will live forever in heaven with Jesus in a place of purity and light and goodness forever and ever because of my mom's choices and the spiritual heritage she passed to me. And so I would encourage you to do the same. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the cross, Lord. Lord, that you didn't just leave us flailing in our sin, but you did something about it, Lord. You sent your only son. And Lord, you took the punishment for sin. You didn't just say, oh, that's okay, it doesn't matter. No, it did matter. And you took all that sin all the way to the cross. You suffered for every single sin that we committed. And you were punished. You took the full punishment for sin. And you took it away. And Lord, we receive that now in Jesus' name and with gratefulness, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would help us structure our lives in a way that would leave a legacy of blessing for our children and not any debt, spiritual debt. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
So I just want to close also. That's a lot of heavy-duty stuff. But God gives us instructions. He says, first the natural, then the spiritual. As the natural goes, we understand spiritual things. So if you thought, wow, that's some amazing stuff and need some more understanding, we'll be here to answer any questions. But ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about that, the reality of it, how important it is that as in the natural inheritance goes, so the spiritual inheritance works, both good and for bad. Mm-hmm. And it's not too late. If you have a pulse right now, it's not too late. You can make changes. Good things can happen.
Yeah.
New days are happening. That's why his mercies are new every morning. And so just, you know, hope you're encouraged by this and encouraged and empowered to leave a spiritual legacy of blessing for your descendants. So, amen. Have a great day. Enjoy your mothers.
Amen.